Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm and have a live link at thetrumpet.com. Recently, a person wrote in a letter and they were asking about the thief on the cross. Like many people, they believed that this section of scripture shows that good people go to heaven when they die. How about you? What do you think about that? That's a major question. I mean, what happens to people after they die? And specifically, what happened in this section of scripture where Jesus Christ addresses a man that was being crucified next to him? We read about this in Luke 23, and we're going to look at a few passages today. If you have your Bible handy, it'd be great to get it out so we could look at these scriptures together and really see what Jesus Christ was talking about when he talked to the man next to him in Luke 23. So let's understand the true Bible teaching regarding the thief on the cross. Now in Luke 23, we read about the events surrounding the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And we'll pick it up in verse 38. You can read the whole chapter to get the flow of what's going on, but we'll pick it up here in verse 38 for our purposes today. And verse 38 says, "And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, 'This is the King of the Jews.' And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, 'If you be Christ, save yourself and us.'" Jesus Christ was always dealing with people that doubted him, and in this moment especially, when they didn't understand the full plan that God was working out, there was a lot of doubt. Verse 40, "But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, seeing you are in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss.' And he said unto Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.'" So this man had a repentant attitude. He knew that he had sinned. He knew he was paying the price for what he had done. He wasn't blaming anyone else. He wasn't trying to get out of it. He knew that he was guilty. Then he asked Jesus Christ to remember me when you come into your kingdom. So we'll just stop there for a moment. Let's consider what's being asked here. The man asked that Jesus would remember him when Jesus came into his kingdom. And the fact is that Jesus has not yet come into his kingdom. As I speak to you today, that hasn't happened yet. Hold your place here and let's notice what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 4. We'll come back to Luke 23 and finish this passage. But let's look at something else here in 1 Thessalonians 4. It's important to try to take in as many scriptures as possible about a topic in the Bible to get the full picture. There's a lot more to look at, but we'll look at a few today that at least get us going in a direction of understanding what Christ was talking about here. So notice 1 Thessalonians 4. Now, Paul learned what he understood from Jesus Christ. Christ taught him. And so he's teaching the same thing that Jesus Christ taught. And notice verse 13. He says, "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren." And that's a great thing. We don't want to be ignorant. We don't want to just assume. We want to know the truth from the Bible. That's what we're trying to do today, is get to that. "I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." He means dead. When the Bible talks about being asleep, it means dead in most cases. Now, not dead forever, but dead until the resurrection. It says that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Well, who's sleeping in Jesus? Well, those that have died in the faith. They're dead. They're sleeping in Jesus. They'll be resurrected, but they're dead at this moment. They were faithful. They knew God. They were called, and they were chosen and faithful, and they died. And they're asleep in Jesus, as it says. Verse 15, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We'll meet Christ in the clouds and then come back to this earth, because the kingdom of God is going to rule this earth. Jesus Christ is coming back to his kingdom to rule this earth. He'll rule it from the throne of David. The Bible talks all about that. But it hasn't happened yet. Even when Paul was writing here, he writes in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He's going to come back. This is the second coming of Jesus Christ. And at that time, what happens? Well, the dead in Christ shall rise. They'll be resurrected, because they're not alive right now, those that have died in the faith. They're sleeping. Sleeping in Jesus, as he said in verse 14, or dead in Christ. They will rise first. They'll be resurrected to eternal life in the kingdom and family of God. But again, the point that we're making here from the Bible is that Jesus Christ hasn't come to his kingdom yet. You know, he is sitting next to his Father in the third heaven in God's throne room, and he's waiting to return. And he will return at that trump, that seventh trump, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. That hasn't happened yet. It hadn't happened in Paul's time yet, and it still hasn't happened today, although it's very close. So those dead in Christ, or those faithful saints who have died, they will be resurrected at the return of Jesus Christ. At that time, Jesus Christ begins his reign over this earth. This is when he comes into his kingdom. So just ask yourself now, if those faithful saints are still dead and waiting for Christ's return, which they are, because that's what Paul just wrote, then how could the thief on the cross already be resurrected? Well, he's not, of course. He's not. He'll have his chance in the future. And Jesus Christ makes a promise to him that he will have that opportunity. And we'll look at that in just a minute here. But Jesus Christ comes into his kingdom in the time that's just ahead of us. And notice Revelation 11. Let's look at this. One more scripture, and then we'll go back to Luke 23. But Revelation 11 and verse 15, this is talking about the time that we just read about here in 1 Thessalonians 4. Revelation 11 and verse 15, it says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. See, the kingdoms of this world, they're currently not being ruled by God. Satan is the god of this world. You can read that in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. But the time is coming, and again, it's just ahead of us now, which is why it's so important that you watch Bible prophecy, because Christ laid out the things that would happen leading up to his return. Matthew 24 talks about that, and a lot of other passages. The book of Revelation obviously gives a lot of detail there. Book of Daniel gives detail there. When you put those pieces together, prophecy is being fulfilled, and it's leading to this time of Jesus Christ's second coming, where, as it says in Revelation 11 and verse 15, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. Jesus Christ will come into his kingdom, and he's going to rule on the throne of David. But that hasn't happened yet, and so the dead in Christ are still sleeping. They're still dead, waiting for his return. Notice Luke 23. We'll go back there and finish up this section. Luke 23, we'll backtrack a little bit here, pick it up in verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, this is the man next to him, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Okay, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Well, Christ hasn't come into his kingdom yet. Verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, today you shall be with me in paradise. So for those who believe this means that the thief was going to heaven as they view it, that day, the day that he died, let me pose this question to you. How could that be when Jesus Christ himself was going to be dead in the grave for 3 days and three nights? I mean, that was vitally important. Christ said he would be dead for 3 days and three nights, and then he would be resurrected. Jesus wasn't going to be in paradise that day because he was going to be in the grave and resurrected 3 days and three nights later. So how could that be? How could the man be with him in paradise today? Because Jesus Christ wasn't going to be in paradise today. It's worth thinking about if Christ actually meant that the thief was going to be in the kingdom of God right away, then why didn't he just say to him, well, you know, I'll see you in 3 days and three nights? See, you have to look at all of the scriptures. You have to put the whole picture together. We can't just pick one scripture and say, well, it seems to say, you know, something. We have to look and see what the Bible says. What does Jesus Christ mean here? Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, today shall you be with me in paradise. Well, we have to understand something about Luke 23 and verse 43. The correct wording proves that Christ promised the thief on the day of his crucifixion, on that day, that the thief would eventually be in his kingdom. That's shall be. And of course, that kingdom will be on this earth. But see, there's something else we need to notice here. The inspired Greek word order with proper punctuation should read this way. And this is really important. This is why I hope you have your Bible out if you haven't marked this already. Verily I say to you today, comma, with me shall you be in paradise. See, notice Christ's use of the word today was stressing the time he made his promise, not the time of the fulfillment of the promise. Notice that. Today, that word that's stressing the time he made his promise, he was promising it that day, but he wasn't saying that it would happen that day. The verse is not correctly punctuated in most English translations. Punctuation was something that was added centuries after the original Greek was written. You get the Greek there and you say, well, where does the punctuation go? It was put in the wrong place. And so when it's read in English, people assume it means something that it does not. Now you think about, you know, Jesus Christ. His sacrifice was almost complete at that moment. He had almost fulfilled the mission that God had sent him to do. He was right on the cusp of it there. And when he was killed and his blood was shed, that was opening salvation to all who would repent. He was opening up salvation. And this man's attitude, the man next to him, showed that he was on his way to repentance, right? I mean, he had an attitude where he wasn't blaming anybody else. He said, look, I've sinned. Now, he still has a lot to learn. He'll have to learn God's truth. He'll have to put it into practice. He'll have to, you know, grow in the character of God. He'll need God's spirit. He'll need to be baptized. All of those things will happen to that man. He'll have that opportunity when he's resurrected. He'll be in the second resurrection. And we have articles that talk about the three resurrections. You can find those at thetrumpet.com. So this man's going to have an opportunity to build godly character. And as he does so, then eventually he'll be able to enter the kingdom of God and he'll truly be with Christ in paradise. This man wasn't having a deathbed repentance, you know, where he had committed all these terrible deeds and then at the very end said, oh, I'm sorry, right? That's not the way it works. Now, he had a good attitude there at the end and he was on his way, but he'll have to learn and he'll have to be worked with and he'll have to develop the character of God. So for those who have grown up believing in heaven and hell, which is so commonly taught, it can be really hard to realize that that's not what the Bible teaches. There is a great reward for those who obey God, of course, to be in the kingdom of God, right? And God will open that kingdom up to those people. And the few, and it'll be just a few, but those that just absolutely refuse to obey God when they really know the truth, well, then they will be burned up in the lake of fire and they won't exist anymore. It'll be like they had never been. But most people will repent when their minds are open. They'll accept God's truth. They'll change. And the beauty of it is that God's plan of salvation gives everyone an opportunity to be called, gives them an opportunity to repent. It gives them an opportunity to grow in character and then have a wonderful eternity in his family kingdom. And there are many that have lived and died in this life, and they never heard anything about God or his truth, or they heard about God, but they never really understood anything. And sometimes people wonder, well, what about that person or that person that, you know, had problems in life and they died? Are they in hell? Nope. They're dead. And they'll be resurrected. They'll be in the second resurrection. And they'll have a chance to learn and to be taught. So they are not banished to this horrible fate. God's plan of salvation is going to be opened up to all who have ever lived. And there's great hope in that. There's great joy in that. When you really understand the truth of the Bible, God's plan is far more wonderful than this false concept of heaven and hell. And there are a few scriptures in the Bible that, again, if they're taken out of context and they're not really understood, people can assume that it means something different. And I hope that today we've been able to at least look into Luke 23 a bit there and see what happened and what's meant there with that interaction with Jesus Christ and the thief on the cross. We have more on this. You can request Mystery of the Ages. That really talks about God's plan for mankind. And the angels, too. It's a wonderful book. I mean, it puts the pieces of the Bible together in a way that you can understand it. You need that. And it's free. It's at thetrumpet.com. Also, the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. That's free as well. Please sign up for that. And it takes you into a lot of depth, you know, going through these different scriptures and looking at these ideas that people have had for years about heaven and hell. What does the Bible really teach about that? It's the most hopeful vision and truth that we could have, and we all need that in our lives. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thank you for spending some of your time with me today. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.